Good morning. It is Thursday, March. It's March 7th. Kyle and I are in the Terminal D of the Atlanta airport. We're on our way to another state, having a good time talking about some things happening today in the car business. I think maybe you timed that right.
I don't know.
Or maybe there was no music playing.
There could have been.
It always rolls.
Nathan just gave us the thumbs up that we timed it right. I guess we'd been doing it long enough at this point. So.
But we were on the ground at dealership yesterday,
so just good.
Spending time with fixed ops people and service people and sales people and technicians and marketers and F&I people.
Talking about the heart behind auto, the heart behind why we do, how we communicate it to the communities. And, you know, that's just our favorite.
It is.
Getting in a showroom, getting in a meeting room with dealers in the room. So much fun.
And here's the secret that a lot of people don't know. When you focus on these things, like love people more than when you focus on those things, what actually happens is that you make more money.
Whoa,
it's
really?
Funny thing
no
about
way.
That.
That's crazy.
It is. But today we have a few things to talk about. First, 68 days to the LesotoCon. So if you are planning on going, get your tickets now while you can still get early birds. If you're not planning on going, you should be planning on going.
Because you absolutely should be planning, because we have some incredible speakers. Like, you can go to the website now, check out the speakers, check out some of the sessions. We were talking actually last night with the dealer that we were with about Will Goddard. They've read Unreasonable Hospitality, seeing him in person, understanding how that all works. Absolutely a necessity to be there for sure.
Okay, so we are about to board a flight in, say, 10 minutes.
Oh, boy.
So let's talk about a little bit of news today. So as the market is continuing to tighten, Carvana CEO Ernie Garcia is leading the company in a strategic pivot from a growth focus to a focus on per unit economics and execution and operations. How about that?
Yeah.
Efficiency. It's a little bit of a common thread we've been hearing around dealerships. Here's a quote from the Automotive News article. Garcia says, when investor support evaporated, he's talking about over a growth model, we clearly had to be capital independent. It forced us to basically reverse the priorities of just growing the company to becoming cash flow positive and efficient. So the company aims to sell more vehicles in Q1 of 2024, but just a few more, focusing on cost stability, reduction in expenses, especially logistics. Garcia is identifying their logistics network as a key area. Obviously, with their acquiring ADESA, they say vehicle transport costs a significant opportunity. Also, having a larger share in EVs is also, he's saying, this is an opportunity for them to show some
well,
domination.
On the used car side, you know, if you can understand the EV market, understand the price points, who the customer is, why they want what they want, you have a significant advantage over someone that maybe has one, two EVs in stock and doesn't really understand the market. This is where people like John Foley and Alex Lawrence are really, like, that's their sole focus. And so if they're putting a focus on that, I'm sure there's a whole team dedicated to the data science around exactly how to do that, move that through reconditioning.
And the national audience, right?
Yep,
national,
exactly.
National
they can move that
marketplace.
Car to the place where it needs to go.
And Garcia, he's optimistic. He says, we couldn't be in a better spot.
Wow.
I mean, that sounds like a CEO that came from the brink of going under, led the company back. And look, so much respect for a CEO that can like keep his calm and keep his poise and keep pushing forward.
And this is like just the things that he stated are things that when I talk to dealers every single day, you see that as a pattern. Like, hey, we recognize that margins are slimming. There may not be a massive growth in just total vehicles sold for me, but I can get really, really diligent about operations and what he calls item economics, as opposed to just like growth by scale.
That's right. Well, speaking of EVs, we're going to back up for a second.
Rivian was set to announce today their R2, which was their lower price competitor, but a couple sneaky little developers got in there and saw the source code to their release page and website that already had a whole bunch of stuff exactly about the vehicle. So we'll give you a little bit of the rundown before we see the full vehicle reveal today. If you haven't yet, you should go to the R2 site and check out the branding video that
they understand the difference between brand and sales marketing.
Yep,
you can watch the video with sound off and it still puts you in the field.
You totally get it. So the R2 is poised to offer a 330-mile range, a starting price of only $47,000. It's going to enter the market in 2026. 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. It's
shabby.
Got most likely that's going to be for the top tier models, it looks like. Rivian's CEO, RJ Scaringe, said that the vehicle is both smaller and more affordable than the R1, aligning with a lot of their financial forecasts for growth and scalability. The interesting thing is just this week, right before the announcement, they did let go of 100 of their primary people at their Normal, Illinois factory. So there's still, like, there's challenge, there's growth, all new kind of product, happening at the
same
time.
I mean, it sounds like the life of an entrepreneurial company.
There it is.
We understand what that feels like.
Startup.
I'm warming up to Rivian a lot over the last 6 months. I think they understand their brand. I think that they understand what consumers want. They did the hard work to get a vehicle under $50,000. So when you start comparing like a Ford Mach-E, a Model Y, a Rivian R2, they understand the consumer. Again, watch the video.
It's almost 50% of what the R1 is.
Absolutely.
Right? It's $75,000 vehicle.
Absolutely. Yep. And I mean, we'll see like what sacrifices they had to make in materials and build quality. Performance, it's obviously a little smaller.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what, I feel optimistic on Rivian. I haven't driven one yet.
I know. I have a good buddy with one. I should do a little drive.
I will say
the interior of the R1 is dope.
It's tight.
Yeah, it's super tight. So we'll see what they come out with today. We'll be following along. Maybe we'll give you a little recap tomorrow on exactly what comes out today, get some imagery and stuff like that.
I think Rivian needs to go dealer network.
No, really?
I do.
I was thinking real hard about it. I was like, should they use the dealers?
No, but I think of Rivian being able to like kind of leapfrog and like, Rivian and Tesla, in my mind, have a very similar vibe and energy to them.
Yes, yeah.
Minus eccentric CEO.
Yes.
Right? And I think if Rivian adopted a dealership model, they figured out a lot of the quality issues that like Fisker's working through, that we'll see VinFast is going to be working through some. I think Rivian's far enough ahead that if they went to dealer model, I think they would have a line out the door, especially with Scout coming soon.
Right. Heard it here first, y'all. Let's go.
Okay, well, whatever you're doing today, whether you're traveling, staying put, we hope that you make people a priority and see that as the path to a more profitable and, let's just face it, a more fulfilling and rewarding business. We'll talk to you soon.